Matthew chapter 12. As we look in the Word of God this evening, glad you're here. Appreciate the Lord bringing us here tonight and being part of His service. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to begin reading in verse 15. The Bible says, "But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew Himself from thence, and great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all." That's more than any faith healer that's ever come through America's done, or foreign, or abroad, wherever. They say you got to have three interviews to get on stage with Benny Hinn or Oral Roberts, some of them guys. And there's a reason why. They're looking for a con. They're looking for a mark when they pull a con on. And usually they have 12,000 to 14,000 marks per show that they're going to con. And if that ain't enough for you, after your three interviews, if you make it up there, and you're walking across stage to get heels, you can go ahead and tell this to yourself, I must be the stupidest person in this whole place that I'm being pulled out of this whole crowd to be up here for my healing. And then on the way out the door, the charismatic faith healer will sell you a book called How to Keep Your Healing. I never read where the woman with the issue of blood had to read that book. I've never read where Lazarus had to read that book. Never seen that in the Bible, and here's why. Jesus is God. Stay with me. And whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. That's written in this book. It's not in that healing book. It's in this healing book. And it says in verse 16, "And charge them that they should not make Him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, and whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets." And then in verse 20 it says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory." I want you to notice that phrase there, a bruised reed, at the beginning of that verse. If you look up a bruised reed, you're going to find that a bruised reed is literally a broken stick that is to be thrown away or burnt. It's done. And with that broken stick, a lot of folks have looked on that broken stick and they've looked over at it and they said it's not good anymore. The only people now that can break sticks are these steroided up ball players and some of them to keep the stick. That's all. You most folks, listen, if you ran your house and you got a walking stick, if it breaks, you may hold on to it for a while because you're a hoarder. Somebody say, "Amen, I've heard you talking." Or you can take that thing and throw it away and be done with it. When God looks across planet Earth, for over 6,000 years, all He's seen is broken sticks out of us, bruised reeds. And it said, "The bruised reed shall He not break." Why is that? Because He wants to fix the thing and use it for His glory as it sits. If you'll think about this with me tonight, there's a man, he stands up to preach in the streets of Jerusalem. A man by the name of Peter. He preaches and we hear all the time about how thousands got saved under the mighty voice of Peter. Can I remind you that 50 days earlier he is a broken stick out by the enemy's fire warming his hands and cussing and denying God just 50 days before that. Right. Nowadays, listen, we'd look at that, we'd say, we're throwing him out. God didn't throw him out. God said, I'm going to use him. He's broke, but I'm going to use him as he is. Then we think about a guy that went down the streets of Nineveh. There he stood preaching. He looked like something you've seen out of a horror movie. His hair bleached white. His skin bleached in spots where the acid from the whale's stomach had got on that man and tore it. Listen, you talking about coming through with white raiment, he probably did. He come through there preaching and the message he'd got was straight from the mouth of God. He preached about an 8-word message and the greatest revival in the world's history took place. Here come the politician getting saved. Here come the senator getting saved. Here come the law enforcement getting saved. Here comes the criminals getting saved. Here comes the common people getting saved. Here's the guy over Nineveh coming to get saved. But just maybe, 3 days earlier, 4 days earlier, He's saying, I ain't doing it. He's a broken stick, bruised reed. The Lord said, I'm not done with you. Though the well go all the way to the bottom of the sea, I'm not done with you. I'm not done with you. You and I, we're done with him. Oh, you don't want to do what God says? Fine. I unfriend you. Is that right? There was a man out in the wilderness. 40 years out there he had spent. Nobody out there but him and the flock. 40 years earlier he killed a man. What he thought was the will of God. He said, I'm leading this people. This guy's trying to mess with the people, so we'll just kill him. You ever felt like that? Ain't you glad God uses broken things? Because 40 years later, God shows up in a burning bush. Moses, I've got 2.5 million Baptists to lead out of the place down there called Egypt, out of the world. And I need you to lead them as I direct you. Broken. Broken. Murderer. Broken. God said, I'll take him. I'll use him. Then we find a strange picture in the New Testament church. Acts chapter 13, the Holy Ghost says, separate me, these people right here. I want to use them for a mission trip. Can you imagine how the people of that church felt? Don't they know that just 4 years earlier, that one guy was hauling Christians off to have them killed? How dare he come to our church and the Lord dare say he's going to use that person? A bruised reed shall he not what? Shall he not break? He's going to take that broke stick where he's at and use him for his glory. In my own thought life, I wondered if God could take that man, which is the Apostle Paul, separate him out and make him the greatest church planter of all time and the greatest missionary of all time. What would he have done with him if he had just got saved at a young age? Isn't that something? I keep looking down through the Bible and I notice this one. Every funeral I've ever seen, stood by, been a part of, there's always something on those little funeral cards. What is it? Psalm 23. Do you know the guy that wrote that was a bruised reed? Oh yeah, he slew the lions and the tigers and the bears, oh my. Oh yeah, he went out and he slew the giant. But he's also a bruised reed because he got out there and he committed adultery with a woman, then had her husband killed. Yeah. I wonder what divorce court would do with that guy. I wonder what Judge Judy would say. Think about this. He's a bruised reed. But God wasn't done with him. He said, I'm going to use him. The world's done with him. I'm going to take him in and use him. I look in on the Bible, and I look back in the Old Testament, and you know the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And while I'm looking back and thinking about that, there's a man there. He was in white raiment. He is the youth pastor. Now he's got all his clothes off. All the rest of the people there's got their clothes off. The pastor's gone. And they're listening to rock music and dancing and stuff like that. And when the man of God comes back, him and his associates there, they say, we hear the sound of war. Another one said, no, that's Christian contemporary music. Aaron was a bruised reed. When Moses showed up, look, they were worshiping a golden calf. Isn't that something? But God said, I'm not done with him. I'm going to get him right. And then he's going to stand between the living and the dead. He's going to carry the blood all the way in there. He's going to be a type of Christ inside that tabernacle every year on the Day of Atonement. I'm going to put clothes on him, put the white raiment back on him. I'm going to put the mitre back on him. I'm going to put the breastplate. I'm going to put all that back on him. And I'm going to use him because I'm not done with that fella. Listen, all I have here, people talk about, oh, the great members of such and such. All I ever see here from this way to this way, all we are is just like these people, just bruised reeds, broken sticks. The world was done with us. God said, I'll take you. I'll take you. I see a fella that was in the ministry, called of God, separated from his mother's womb, and he got in the ministry and found out it wasn't what he thought it was, I guess. People started harassing him and doing things against him, running down his message, lying on him and everything else. He said, you know what? I quit. I'm not putting up with this anymore. And there's a fire burning in Jeremiah's bones, and he couldn't quit. He said, I can't lay that book down. It's like a hammer. Listen, I've got to get back and get in this thing. And even though he quit on God, God never quit on him. Ain't you glad of that? I noticed that when we get down to the New Testament, we find a guy who was probably the most wicked of all wicked people. He worked for Obama. He was a tax collector. There he was. He admitted to stealing money from people. So I put up with a liar, but I can't stand a thief. Oh, I know. But look at this. God said, you know what? Even though he's part of Obama's team, I'm going to save him and make him part of my team. And oh yeah, Matthew, while I'm at it, I want you to write something down for me in about 30 years. What's that, Lord? I want you to write this story about my son. I'll even let you put your name on it and call it the Gospel of Matthew. But it's going to be about my son. I look on down at these people. I find a guy that walks out there and says, you know what, Uncle Barnabas, I'm ready to go out with you. I think I can handle this missionary stuff. I believe God's called me, and God did call him. God wanted him to go. But he quit. I've heard people preach why he quit, the attitude he had a bad spirit, but whatever it was, he quit. And then when he come back and said, you know what, I backslid on God, I need to come back with you. And I think we need to do it again. And Barnabas and Paul separated, never was fellowshipping again after that because of that young man. But I want to remind you, as Paul had called for him at the end of his life, said, bring with you John Mark, for he's profitable into the ministry. He was a bruised reed. He quit after he got saved. He quit after he had the opportunity to go out. And God still wanted that bruised reed. He wasn't going to throw him out. I look on down in the Bible, and I find a woman. There she is bringing people to Christ. And in just a matter of about two more years, one of the greatest New Testament revivals written down is going to happen right where that woman got saved. And all those things surrounding all that. But just 3 years earlier, she had been through divorce court the last time, for the fifth time. And as she walked out of the divorce court, this man looked at her and said, hey, honey, you want to shack up? She said, sure will. I'm tired of getting married. But when Jesus showed up at that well in John chapter 4, you know what? He saw a bruised reed, but he said, I'm not going to throw you out. Listen, she got saved and she started bringing people to Christ. You say, well, that old adulterous hag, she's done more than a lot of us have as far as bringing people to church and getting them saved. That's what she was. Here's what she is. She is a bruised reed. God didn't throw her out. I think about a woman who showed up at a well one morning to put burial spices on her Lord. He wasn't there. So she asked what she thought was the gardener. Sir, where have you taken him? And the very voice that cast out seven devils out of that woman looked at her and said, Mary. And she piped up and said, oh my God, that's you, Lord. She's a bruised reed. She was devil possessed, not by one or two, but by seven. You ever wonder if she is that the one they was talking about over in that story where Jesus said that one come back and brought his buddies with him? He might have been referring to somebody like her. But you know what? She's a bruised reed. So how'd she get them devils? It depends on who you ask. She's probably playing records backwards is what got her messed up. I don't know. I think if you play them forward, you get messed up a lot of times. But I'm not convinced that the devil's in them records. I'm convinced the devil's in you thinking he's there and he's jumping in there some other way. Devil's deceptive, man. I see a man in the Bible. His name literally means trickster. Sorry, low-down rascal. Comes time to get the inheritance. They lay out what the inheritance is going to be. And the old trickster slips in there and acts like he's his older brother and gets that blessing. The brother gets nothing. Out of all of that and all the shenanigans he done, it wasn't the Edomites God brought the Messiah through. It was through Jacob, that trickster. He was a bruised reed, but God had to fix him. God had to fix him. I notice as we look on down, the guy we saw this morning in the scripture, a guy by the name of Abraham. Poor old Abraham. You know, he was called out of idolatry. He was called and he later referred to as the friend of God. But he was such a bruised reed that when it come time to stand up for his wife, he said, oh no, that's my sister. And then turns around and has an affair with a younger woman. He said his wife was okay with it. That don't make it right. Never has. And then he comes in there and he's got all this mess. And God says, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And his seed still lives on. They've even got their own land. They're trying to take that land, but they're not going to get all them people off this earth. There's more Jews, listen, there's more Jews now than there ever have been. And that's what the Holocaust included. You know why? God wasn't done with Abraham. But I want to give you something right quickly about being damaged but not done. All of us, when we come to Christ, was damaged goods. We wasn't in, listen, we wasn't in the Bilo and the Walmart on the shelf as prominent featured items. We wasn't up on the clearance shelf. We was down there at the salvage. We was down there with dents all in the cans. Labels missing. Holes. Cracks in the glass. And when God went shopping for something he wanted to use, he bypassed all the featured products, all of the high-ticket stores, and he went all the way back down there and said, there's one in the mud hole I'll take. There's one in the beer joint I'll take. I'll take this one over here. This one won't work, but I'm going to get him saved, and I'm going to put work in him. I'm going to take all these folks, and I'm going to do a great work with him because they're damaged goods. They're damaged goods. Ain't you glad one day God looked your way and just saw a bunch of damaged goods? The people that have you seen got saved in your life and you got saved, you know for a fact you've looked at yourself and them and thought, why, God, why? I read a statement this morning about the father of the modern gourmet coffee movement made. He said, we hated God without a cause and God loved us without a cause. And if that ain't a true statement, I don't know what is. He looked down at the damaged goods. He said, you know what? I'll take that one and that one and that one and that one. And you know what I'm going to do with you? I'm not done with you. I'm going to do something with you. And he takes us and he puts us in Christ. And now because we are in Christ, he can use us. There's some of us, we've gotten in Christ. We've went a little way for the Lord or a long way and we've been damaged even more. And God says, don't worry about that. I'm going to get you again. I'm going to use you. I'm not talking about people that this religious con artists and fakes and phonies and all that. I'm talking about folks that love the Lord that the devil deceived. You ever been there? You ever had to get right with God and people and you had to admit, I'm wrong, not them wrong? And go out and say, you know what? I meant to be a good Christian. I just dropped the ball. And you didn't blame nobody else for it. You said, I'm the problem. I look back at Joseph. I look back at Joseph over there, and I see him. And for no reason, he got, you know, his brothers were jealous and all that. But when they finally came face to face with him, you know what biblical repentance looked like? They said, we're guilty. We're guilty. They didn't blame jealousy. They said, we are. They didn't say it was a demon possessed them. They said, we are. We live in a day and age where people use demons as a way out of things. Oh, if I was possessed by a devil, that's why I did that. No, you wasn't. Listen, he might have influenced you. He might have talked in your ear, but your flesh is the one that said, oh, I got to have that sin. You know what God said? That's okay. I'm going to take you back. 1 John 1:9 is not written to the self-righteous judgmental Pharisee. It's written to the Christian. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to give our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad, thank God, that he don't throw us away as soon as we make a mistake. I know when you sin, nobody has to tell you. You know why? Because you remember when you was damaged goods and he come talk to you that first time. Now when you do something against him, you know it right then. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know. There's no debating it. There's no, I think I might or I might have sinned. No, you know. Because he lets you know. But just like Mark, Matthew, Apostle Paul, all of them, though you're a bruised reed, he ain't throwing you out. I look down through the Bible and I see all this stuff and I got a couple of things I want to give you. Here they are. Number one, don't let your past dictate your future. If God saved you and buried your sin as far as from the east to the west and the lowest depths of the sea, quit fishing for it. We've got a lot of times where we let our past dictate our future and we try to live vicariously through some child or something. Let's not let your past dictate your future. Hey, wouldn't the God that we'd start raising children instead of letting him raise herself? Number two, don't let your future be like your past. I don't care what you was. That's what God says. Let's get you more like Christ. Have your goal every day when you wake up in the morning to stop trying to be like somebody else or repair this or repair that. Listen, don't let your future be like your past. Quit the scheming. Start living for Jesus and say, you know what? I was this. I'm in Christ now. God predestined me for something. Here's what it is. To be more like Him. Fall in with God's plan and let God use you. Number three, don't let Satan use your past to ruin your future. My God, it's the people that come up to me sometimes, still drinking, still doping, don't smell no cigarettes on you. Well, let me tell y'all a little story right quick. Brag on how good God is. I had a marriage that's falling apart, a character that wasn't there, integrity that was missing. God saved me and put all that back together. And that crowd that laid all that money on the fact that we wouldn't be married more than 6 months, I want the money. Amen, friend. It's the only time I believe in gambling because they bet against us. And you know what? Half of them's divorced now. Amen, friend. I don't normally get this personal stuff, but I'm going to get on this for just a minute. What I'm saying is don't let Satan use your past to ruin your future for you. Because see, if I'd listen to all that crowd, where would I be at right now? Exactly. The same gutter I come out of. Hey, Bruce Reed, listen to me. God ain't done. God ain't done. And number four, don't fail to create a new past today. Do you know you can't go back and change the past? You know why people like time travel and movies and stuff? Because I always think, if I could just go back and do such and such. Hey, that sounds cool, but if you could go back, you'd mess it up worse. You'd mess up the whole time-space continuum. You know why? Because when you went back and tried to bet on the Steelers over the Cowboys in Super Bowl X, God would let the Cowboys win. And there you'd still be broke. You do know he'd do something like that to you, don't he? You'd go back in time and say, hey, there's Bill Gates stealing Steve Jobs' operating system and calling it Microsoft Windows. I'm going to steal it and call it Greg's Windows. And you know what? The company would be bankrupt and we wouldn't have computers right now. God would mess you up like that. Because if you could go back in the past, try to change things in your favor, he'd go right along with you and make sure it didn't happen. Because he don't want you as perfect. He's already got one. He wants you to be like that one. Don't fail to create a new past today. While you're here today, listen, put everything at the altar and go on with life. You can't fix it. You can't fix that. Hey, Christian, listen. What you used to be, put it aside and say, I want to be more like Jesus and stand by Him. Notice it says that he shall send forth judgment and victory, and in His name shall the Gentiles trust. I'm glad, thank God, we serve a God that tells us, look, I'm not concerned about your past. I've chosen to forget it, but I don't want you to be like that anymore. Those who stole, steal no more. God robber, quit robbing God. Unfriendly person, be friendly. Show yourself friendly. So how do you know God said all that? Because I've read it. And as you read this book, God shows you, let's create something. Let's create a new future today. When you get up in the morning, don't get up and think, oh my goodness, it's Monday. Oh my, I got to go put a picture on Facebook that says it's Monday and have that cat with its hair strung out. Listen, every day you get up, thank God it's Monday. Thank God it's Tuesday. You know why? These people last week didn't see this week. Listen, start right now and create a new past today. Somebody told me one time, they said that if you got a credit history, is what they said, that everybody's got one of them things. You got a credit history. And what you did in the past reflects on who will let you borrow money today. That's what they say now. Unless you go see Louis the Loan Shark down there on 4th Street or something. But you don't want to do that because if you miss his payments, he ain't going to call and harass you. He's going to knock on the door and say, I need you to come out here and let me see them first two fingers on your hand. He's going to get his money. You're going to hurt for it. But you take that thing and that credit history and all that, and no doubt some of you have been through this. The first time you sat down to borrow money, they looked at you and said, and you said, what? I'm not a crackhead. I don't do bad things. I'm a good person. That guy looked at us. Bye. And you walked out there defeated. Or you got online and said, you know what? I need to build my credit history up. If that guy at the bank won't loan me money, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fill out this here credit card. You typed the information in and said, answers within seconds. And you typed him in. And it said no about right before you hit that button just about. And you looked at that computer and it said, and you said, my goodness. And then finally somebody come to you and told you the secret. That secret is, if you're going to get a reputation built, you got to build one. And they said, look at this report here. And you went up there to the credit report site, and they was in their pirate suit singing. They stopped long enough to tell you this. They said, you know what? Instead of trying to fix all that, let's create a new one. Let's start today and right now. When the phone rings and it says, George Washington Financial or whatever, don't send it to voicemail. Pick up the phone. Tell them when you're going to pay them and go pay them. When the Chevrolet place calls and said, you ain't going to bring me them keys or you going to bring me some money, tell them you'll be there and show up. Amen. Start building character about yourself. Yeah. And then in about a year's time, you're going to have all that caught up. And you're going to look back at that same report, and the pirate suit guy's driving a Volkswagen now. And he whoops it in your house and says, look at this. You up by 20 points. You say, wow. But don't do nothing. Create a new past today. You get that car paid off. Get that stuff paid off. And then it comes time. You start noticing something within 3 to 5 years. You know what it is? You don't go looking for credit. They come looking for you. And not for bad reasons. You know why? Your character has been shown and proven. Because one day, you said, no, I'm going to create a new past today. Christian, you hadn't read your Bible this week? Guess what? You probably ain't the only one. You're saved. You're just out of fellowship with God. Instead of sitting around saying, I'm too ashamed to come back, create a new past today. Create a new past today. You may be one of these people that only time you praise when the food's set on the table, and that's only when somebody's around so they can watch you. And you say, my God, I can't hurt my pastor's reputation out in public, and that's a good thing to do. Amen. Don't do that. I can't hurt my church's reputation, so I don't pray over my meal. And what you're really saying is this, is if they had an amplifier or put a microphone on you, dear God, I know I'm a hypocrite and I'm only doing this because people's watching, but dear God, please bless this food. Don't let me choke to death in this restaurant. But listen, you don't have to be like that. Create a new past today, one where you do pray. You know, at one time, some of you in here, y'all had so many points on your driver's license, they sent you a letter said, one more warning and we're going to come lock you up. What'd you do? I'll tell you what you did. You're not in jail right now, so I think you created a new past starting that day. Now we look back, and the insurance company says, oh, here's a $100 check just for being a good driver. Where'd I get that from? She ain't got them tickets no more. You had none in 10 years. Hey, friend, listen, create a new past today. Quit worrying about how that thing follows you and create a new one, and in about 10 years' time, you got something. You say, you think we'll be here? No, I think Jesus is coming tonight, but just in case he don't, I'm going to try to live right. Try to do right. Hey, listen, all you got to do is realize, hey, I was damaged goods. God got a hold of me one day. Here we are. Hey, don't let the devil or anybody else fool you. Hey, God can use you right where you sit, right here tonight in this church. So stand, with every head bowed, every eye closed.